Welcome to Transitions with Ruth Ann Rehm McCaffrey. Hello, Ruth Ann. How are you?
Hi, Santia. Oh, I'm good today. Good. Thank you.
Yes, we're here today to talk about transitions in the familiar. And this is something that you're going to be walking me through a process that I'm not familiar with. And I'm really looking forward. Can't wait to get going with it. So do you want to talk us through a little bit about what the purpose is of this exercise that we'll be going
right,
through?
Right, yes, and how we came up with this idea, which actually was a creative process in and of itself. We're doing this podcast for September, and the thought of going back to school, we keep leaping from one idea to the other. And so thinking of going back to school brought to mind the fact that transitions happen all the time. And many of the ones that we've talked about in previous podcasts are the big ones, losing somebody that we love or losing a job or quite a bit of orientation around loss and coping with that. And today we're going to talk about those many opportunities we have to respond to a question or a need in our life that is more familiar, just like going back to school, of course, produces new opportunities to learn. But most of us have been to school and started school enough times that there are lots of pieces of it that are not new, and we can just jump right in. So I thought that it would be fun today to talk about the creative process that you went through, Santia, when you and Rob created the song last night, and then to ask you to talk through how you did that. And what I'm going to do is take notes and capture the steps that you used or went through in creating your song, and then we can see how that process could be employed in working with your jewelry or doing something else that, it could even be applied to making a big change in your life, because in truth, the way we go about this is sometimes it's slick if we can employ something that we already know mm-hmm. and trust, and just for a new purpose. So that's the background. So how about talking about the song and maybe giving our listeners a little bit of an idea of the song and what reason you had for coming up with this, and then from the beginning need to come up with a new song until you actually had one in the can. What were the steps? And I'm going to be writing down the steps. Okay. So just let's go on a journey here.
Okay. So when I wrote this last song, what I often do is start with a keyboard and play around with sounds. That's something I absolutely love to do. So I listen to a number of different sound banks to see if there's something that just catches with me. And then if there's a sound that I like, I'll just kind of noodle with it a little bit. So I'll play a couple of notes and move some of the parts of the sound around a little bit to see if anything kind of sticks. So it's like I'm testing it to see if it's something that I would really, maybe it's more kind of enjoy if I will enjoy playing it. That may be part of it.
Right.
So I play with that a little bit, and then oftentimes maybe it's I'll get an image like, oh, that sounds like I can imagine walking through a jungle in this song. And so that thought will then create additional ideas about what note would work, what key is this going to make sense to play the song in. And so I play around with that for a little bit too, the different sounds. And so some things I like initially, or sometimes I'll play a couple of chords or keys and I say, no, that's not gonna fit with this song. So and that's what happened with this one. It was a matter of playing around a little bit, getting a sound. And what I did with this song, which is kind of typical with what I have done with other songs, I create the intro and the first and second section of the song. And again, I have an idea of it's in my mind, a jungle song, and it has an eerie sound. So it's walking through a jungle and kind of having enjoyment, but also suspense. And then that's where Rob comes in to help out with the rest of it. Because oftentimes I have the framework and I have some ideas, but it's not necessarily complete. And that's where it works really well to say, okay, this is what I have. And then I'll play it for Rob. I'll say, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I have at this point. And what do you think? And then I kind of hand it off to him.
Well, hi, I'm Rob. And
hi, Rob.
I'm going to talk a little bit specifically about the creative process of this particular new song as I see it. Originally, when Santia started composing the song, we had gone to a cabin in eastern Washington. We were in the woods, kind of isolated, had our gear set up specifically for writing some new things, uncharted territory. It was a rainy day and kind of real quiet and peaceful outside. So I heard this number beginning to develop, and I picked up a 12-string guitar, and I kind of had a direction in my mind that we're going to kind of take it down the gentle new age path, kind of a gentle new age rainy day song, because it had flutes in it and some pretty strings. And then we dropped it and got busy doing other things and came back to it just last night. And I entered the studio 2.5 months later to work on this song with a very rigid idea in my mind. I'm going to do the 12-string guitar. And that's all I wanted to do was play the 12-string on it, this little pretty gentle pattern. And then something clicked in my mind, and I thought, this song is very, very heavy into the D. It's a D tonal center. It's D, D, D. And I'm like, why not grab the other guitar that's strung for drop D tuning? And if I'm going to do that, I might as well grab a slide. And so I dialed up this really what I call a greasy barbecue sauce chicken dripping sound on my electric guitar amp, which, mind you, I was not going to play the electric guitar at all. I was going to play the 12-string acoustic. And I started monkeying around with it. And then when Satya started up the original drum groove that 2.5 months ago inspired me to play gently, I wanted to play electric slide, and I wanted to... So I was in the jungle as well, but not in the jungle in Africa. I'm in the jungle in Louisiana, in the bayou, and there's some spicy food cooking, and I just got this jungle groove going on the slide, and it turned into something last night when we completed it that was way, way, way cooler than I originally envisioned it. For me, it was going to be a song that we play once in a while at a wine tasting event where we have to be quiet. And now I'm thinking maybe we'll kick off a set with it. So I'm digging it.
Well, and I'll have to remind you, we actually, when we were at the camp place, we weren't going to create anything. We were going to practice. That was the mode. It was, no, we need to practice these songs. And it was true. It was a burst of, wow, that sound is a really neat sound. What can I do with that sound? And how can I make a song with that? So we never had intended for it to be a creative event. And that's typically how that happens. It's I think being, at least for me, being open to saying, okay, I know we need to practice these songs. And then if I stumble across a sound, I guess I don't want that opportunity to go away. And that's probably annoying to Rob sometimes, because I get something and I think, oh, I don't want to forget this. I don't want to forget this note. I don't want to forget this sound. I want to go with it for a little bit. And that's where we're different.
And that's a really good point, listeners out there. So take note. I tend to be a musical drill sergeant. For the next hour,
that's being nice.
For the next hour, we are going to work on this and this alone. But if I allow myself and others the opportunity to stretch out creatively and maybe know that we'll get back to some of those technical and repetitive and things that, you know, have to be ironed out, we'll get back to those and let yourself go down the rabbit hole of creativity, and you'll come up with something pretty cool.
Okay, so, I have a long page full of,
I can't wait to hear it,
steps that I heard you taking. So let me just go through these and see what your response is and see what you think. The first piece is always the need or have the idea or have the desire. And basically, any time we're asking ourselves to think outside the box, we basically put ourselves into giving our intuitive, rational, creative, all of our parts of our brain permission to come to the table. So the first is to just say, okay, we're going to start with a creative experience here. And then, Santia, what you did is you started with what you find is fun. Mm-hmm. There's a wonderful element of fun, permission, playfulness, not rigid. Sorry about drill sergeant there. but that is a piece of it too, because one of the things that fun takes strength from is the skills that you bring to the table. So you have skills more and more that you're developing with the sounds and with the hearing and how to be discriminating with the sounds. But a big piece of it that starts you out is to enter with a freedom and enter with, this is fun, this is playful, let me noodle around, let me try things out. It's no different than somebody who approaches cooking with the freedom to try something with the ingredients that are at hand. They have to know what those ingredients can do. And with you, the ingredients in music will be your instruments and the way notes and music and the sounds of music and the different instruments work together. So that was the beginning. And then you, in the, as you were playing, you were moving the sounds around so that you were working with another one of your senses, which is your sense of hearing. And so, and your how something sounded with, my guess is not just your ears, but with your heart and with your hands and with your whole self. You're basically immersing yourself in and just getting a sense of what's coming up here. What do I have? And along the way, there was looking, there was testing, there was trying something out, seeing how it fits, trying something out, seeing how it fits. And then you introduced something wonderful, and that is an image that you had in your mind. And so the image came to you of the jungle. And that, in a way, became a confirmation. So the sounds, as they were coming to you and working together in the different instruments, and I think by this time maybe Rob was maybe introducing his part of it too, was you were looking for how does what I'm hearing and what the instruments are doing meet what I'm seeing in my mind. So we're looking for a piece of confirmation. That's another part of the creative expression going into the visual for you. And then you started building on that and building it up. And there, then the next piece came when you started letting go of or choosing what you wanted to keep and letting go of those things that are those pieces of the music that didn't fit. Maybe they'll fit some other time. Particularly if along the way something really wonderful came, but wonderful for a different piece of music, not wonderful for this. So you started letting yourself gather together those parts that it's like a family, you know, a family of friends, gathering the parts that fit and work together. And then match up with what you match the pieces that are coming in with what needs, what the places where there is an openness that needs some piece added to it, whether it's information or music or teriyaki sauce, who knows? and that too, in your music, since you and Rob do it together, this is a wonderful process that you have because it's collaborative. And so then Rob is invited in, maybe in my earlier Maybe I invited you in too soon, Rob. I don't know before, but this at this point with Rob coming in, the song started to be a partner with you, mm-hmm. and started to influence and guide you in what needed to what it wanted you to do. And so then you became not only in collaboration with Rob, but you became in collaboration with the music. And so the three of you were working together and until something really juicy and wonderful emerged. I can hardly wait to hear it. In fact, I'm hoping that maybe a little piece of it, or I don't know how long it is, but on the podcast here, maybe we can hear a little bit of it. I'm hoping that way.
I think what we're going to do, I'm going to jump in again, even though I said I wasn't gonna. Is we usually have the podcast theme music that rolls at the tail end.
Yeah.
And for the end of this episode, when you guys say goodbye and sign off for this time, we're gonna roll this a little snippet of the new tune.
Awesome. Oh, that's a great idea. Oh, I love that idea. Okay, so the last piece here is completely in keeping with what we're doing now, and that's to celebrate. To celebrate the way that this piece of creativity came together. It's like it's got its own life now, and we're going to get to celebrate it. So.
And I love the way that you said it, because it does feel, you know, that sounds kind of strange, that it does almost carry its own life after a point. Right. And I think it's having that curiosity of what is this thing? Mm-hmm. And then it just does take a life of its own.
You know, I've heard of writers say that they fall in love with their characters, and their characters then guide that the book, The Paris Wife. I'm blocking on the author's name, but we heard her speak, and she was talking about how Hemingway wanted to be expressed in this book. And I mean, and sometimes writers say, I can hardly wait to see how this story turns out because I'm so interested in these, in the story or in the characters or whatever. Mm-hmm. So the creative process, when it is really working and full of its own life and energy, can definitely be a partner.
Yeah,
and
that's a good point.
In talking about using this knowledge about our own creative process in managing familiar or unfamiliar new questions or transitions, it's really the way that I think it's so cool is that we already do this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't ask you about something that was ahead of you that you'd never done before. I asked you about something that you'd already done that had energy and had excitement about it and you liked it. And so if we can take that process and say, okay, here are some steps that we know work for you, the next time you want to do something that's creating, like your jewelry making or something, maybe you can start with the idea. Work with what is fun for you. Play with this. Look at it and invite an image to be a part of the process. Choose what works, so let yourself be discriminating. Match what's coming in with, match the beads that are available with what the necklace or what the earrings or the, you know, the whatever is, how it's coming together. Invite input if you want to do that. And then let the piece of jewelry have a part in the process, and then celebrate it when mm-hmm. you get done.
You make it sound so beautiful. You do.
And the creative process, I think, is just one of life's most wonderful gifts.
It is.
That we're given this creativity, and so to really do it consciously, I think it's just, it has a magic about it.
I think so too. And I think a theme that you were saying is trusting. That's mm-hmm. a big part of it, is trusting
yeah.
that
right.
when you're in that right place, that it's going to be the
That's
right,
right
thing.
You just have to be playful with it mm-hmm. and light and open-hearted. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's one of the gifts of using this creative process, maybe to begin with those experiences or those questions that do have a familiar ring to them. And then when you're really comfortable with that process, maybe ask it to be at the table when you have something bigger that comes up. The other thing about it, though, is I think we can remember what Rob's part of the discussion was today. You may come into it thinking, I've got this all in hand. You know, I know exactly how this is going to roll out. And you can be surprised by the new ideas that come to you when you're open to them.
Definitely. And so, that's, I think what he did was he realized, he was open to saying,
completely open. Yeah. He wasn't married to his original idea. Again, that idea may some rainy day when you're working together, it may be just the thing that you want to pull out and start working on together. I kind of think it'll have a jungle overtone to it.
It probably will.
Some of your pieces are so wonderfully rich that way.
Oh, thank you.
I love your music.
Sometimes I don't know where it comes from.
Well, invite it in. It's certainly beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you again for today. It's been fun.
Thank you for today, too. Thank you for that gift.
You're welcome. I'm eager to hear the song.
Thank you for joining us. This is Santia. For more information about Ruth Ann, please go to her website at careermi.com. This program is produced and engineered by Rob Rigoni at Brown Pelican Productions. For more information about Rob, go to robrigoni.com.